In our text today, Jesus is going to a funeral, to the funeral of his friend Lazarus, the brother of two very faithful women, Mary and Martha. And on the way to the funeral, on the way to Lazarus' tomb, Martha meets Jesus first, and then Mary. And they both have the same thing to say to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Talk about heart-wrenching. Could you imagine hearing somebody say to that, if you had been here, they wouldn't have died? This is really an emotional chapter in John's Gospel. In this chapter, we see despair, we see sorrow, we see grief, but we also see faith. Though the mourners in this text are having their faith tested, their confrontation with death really shakes them and leaves them kind of in a limited fashion, lacking faith in a sense. Jesus, if you had been here. Now after Mary asks this, or says this to Jesus, Jesus looks around and he sees Mary weeping, and he looks around and he sees all the others, the Jews, weeping as well. Now they aren't stoically crying like German North Dakotans would. The term that John uses here is wailing. They're wailing. This is a loud lamentation. It is a loud affair. They are very loudly grieving the death of Lazarus. Theirs is a sorrow really without any hope. And Jesus sees this, he looks around, and John tells us that he was deeply moved and greatly disturbed. In fact, we'll hear this twice in this passage, that Jesus is greatly disturbed by the whole scene, by the wailing he sees, by the sense of defeat and the concession people have given over to death. And John here is implying, when he talks about Jesus being deeply moved, the word he uses implies that Jesus is angry about what he sees. Angry. He's irritated. He's frustrated by the mourning that is taking place. And what is he irritated about? Is it simply the fact that death is there, that it exists, or is there something more that he's angry about? I mean, we know what Jesus is going to do, right? We've read the passage. We know that he raises Lazarus from the dead. In fact, this isn't a last-minute plan that Jesus has. He's had this plan before he even went to see the tomb. He told his disciples why they were going to see Lazarus, to raise him from the dead. Jesus has this plan in mind. Why is he so disturbed and so deeply moved? Now, I know you're sick of hearing the next words I'm going to say. But in the movie Star Wars, the iconic bad guy Darth Vader, dressed all in black, menacing voice, is being mocked by an admiral of the Imperial Army. Now this admiral wants to put the rebellion down. He wants to squash it using this technological terror that they have developed called the Death Star. It can destroy whole planets in a single shot. He wants to put fear into the heart of the rebellion. And he mocks Darth Vader, who is a master of the dark side of the Force. And he mocks Darth Vader for believing in such a thing. He has no faith in such mysteries. He mocks him. And then the admiral suddenly starts choking. He's grabbing for his collar. There's no food there. He's not choking on food. Instead, Darth Vader is choking him by the power of the dark side, using the Force to crush his windpipes. And then Vader delivers one of the most memorable lines from the movie, "I find your lack of faith disturbing." Jesus is disturbed by the lack of faith. He's angry over the power that death has on these people, by the lack of faith that is amongst these mourners. He's disturbed. He's deeply moved. Sure, they have enough faith to say things that, you know, had Christ been there, things could have turned out differently. They say, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, had you been here, you could have done something to stop this, but not now." Now, death has had its say, and death's word is final. Now, we all experience times when our faith is lacking, when it's limited. We all struggle in life when we have those times. Maybe our faith in God wavers when we call into question God's provision for us, whether we'll have the ability to pay rent, to pay our mortgage, to get this car fixed, to get a job, to put food on the table, to buy clothes for my kids. We ask questions, will God provide? And at those times, our faith is tested, and it wavers. We question God, and our faith wavers when relationships turn sour, when the children that we so desperately love turn onto a path that we did not set them. We ask questions, will God watch over us? And then, of course, our faith wavers in the face of death. Look right up there, right there, right where the end of that banister comes down to the center aisle. Someday, there will be somebody in a casket right there who you really love. And your faith will be tested. And you'll have questions about who God is. Someday you will be in that casket. And you'll come face to face with death when that moment comes. And you'll question, is God there? And your faith will be tested. When loved ones leave this earth, when we ourselves are face to face with sickness, with death, doubt creeps into our soul, and we struggle with how capable God really is. The mourners in our text today struggled with faith, with who Jesus is. And as such, they were giving in to their fear and their sorrow and their doubt and assumed that death had the final word. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, they were grieving as those who have no hope. But we have hope. We read as Jesus approaches the tomb, he is intent on raising Lazarus from the dead. And he says to Mary, or Martha, "Roll the stone away." And Martha says to him, "He's been there for 4 days already. It's going to smell. Leave him be. Death is here. Lazarus is gone." And to this Jesus says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Now our inclination when it comes to faith, and often prayer, is to think of it like it's some kind of work. Like, if I just believe enough, God will do this. Or if I pray hard enough, God will do this. As though we like to think of the power of prayer. Oftentimes when we use that phrase, we're thinking of the power being in us as we pray instead of the person to whom we pray. In this text, faith is lacking. Martha tells Jesus, Lazarus stinks. There's decay. He's done. Despite her words, though, Christ raises Lazarus from the dead. It isn't an increase in faith in the people that causes this to happen. It is the power of Jesus Christ through God the Father raising Lazarus from the dead despite a lack of faith. Christ raises Lazarus, and the result is that it produces faith. It creates faith. People after this, many of them believe in Jesus Christ and who He is as the Son of God. The movement of God in Jesus Christ all of a sudden becomes so much bigger to the people present, so much more grand than was first understood. In this event, Christ reveals God's glory. It's unveiled that He truly is the resurrection and the life. Through Christ, the Lord has the final word over death, not the other way around. As we struggle through our life, in our struggles we wonder often where our miracle is. We know that Jesus has fed people. He's given sight to the blind. He's cured the sick. He's raised people. Sometimes when we read passages like this, we ask, why doesn't He do the same for me? Where's my miracle? And so we come into a time where our faith is tested. But the point of this passage isn't the raising of Lazarus, though that was a good thing. It is in the revealing of Jesus Christ as Lord of life, the one in whom faith should rest. After this passage, you'll read later in chapter 12 that life isn't all of a sudden peachy for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In fact, not more than a chapter later, people are plotting to kill Lazarus again because they can't handle the fact that he's still alive. They plot his death just as they plot the death of Christ. The Lord desires to create faith, to draw you closer to Himself, to give you a bigger understanding of who He is. And He uses the trials of life to do so. Sometimes we get the miracles. More often than not, faith is produced and created through God sustaining us in our trials. His desire is for people everywhere to confess Him as Lord, to confess Him in the way that my favorite hymn does. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give You thanks. We thank You that You are faithful to us, even when we are faithless. Lord, be with us in the times of trial that we experience due to sickness, illness, a tragedy, due to our daily needs and the struggle to meet those needs. Help us in those times, Lord, to come through the testing to have a greater faith in You, a greater understanding in You, to know that You are God and that You are faithful. We pray this in Your name. Amen.